Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Today, your Radio Hall of Fame comes to you from the beautiful Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood. Your host, the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman.
Thank you, Pierre André, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. In all the history of comedy, I'm sure that I have never... This is one of the most... All right, Costello,
Costello, come here. What's the matter with you? Do you realize we're on the Philco Hall of Fame today?
Yeah.
But why weren't you here at rehearsal?
Oh, I went over to see our Vine Street has slender shape.
Our Vine Street has slender shape? You mean our vines have tender grapes.
Who was standing on Vine Street? You or me?
All right, now, cut it out. Just cut it out and snap out of it.
Okay.
You've got to be fast on this program, Lou.
What do you mean you've got to be fast? I'm as fast as you.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not faster than you.
You are
not as fast because I come from the fastest town in the world.
And where's that?
New York City.
And what's so fast about New York City?
What's so fast about it?
Yeah.
Why, one day on my way to work, I saw a gang of workmen laying a foundation for a 50-story building.
Yeah.
And would you believe it, that very same evening, on my way home to dinner, that building was up and completed.
You call that fast?
Oh, that's actually standing still. What do you mean?
You are standing still. I come from the fastest town in the whole world.
Where's that?
Paterson, New Jersey.
Oh, shush. Come on. That's ridiculous.
Well, I really mean it.
What's so fast about Paterson, New Jersey?
I
ask you that.
Let me ask you something.
What?
You telling me about a building that you built?
Yes.
Let me tell you about a building I saw being built in Paterson, New Jersey.
Let's hear about it.
You know, last summer when you and I went to New York?
Yes, you remember.
I took a train and went over to Paterson, New Jersey to see some of my relatives?
I remember
When the train got in Paterson, New Jersey at the station, I got out of the train and I saw a taxi cab.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take the taxi cab to go see my relatives.
So?
So the guy opened up the taxi cab door like that.
Yes.
I have 1 foot in the cab.
Yes.
Just 1 foot.
Yeah. Well, what about it?
When the 1 foot was in a cab like that, I looked across the street and I saw a gang of workmen laying a foundation of a 100-story building.
Uh-huh.
That's 50 stories more than yours.
So what?
Before I could get the other foot in the cab...
Now, wait a minute. Don't tell me that building was up and completed.
Up and completed? They were putting the people out for not paying the rent.
That's all.
Boys, it would take a million adjectives to tell you how swell it is having you here. But I think Martha Tilton, our singing star, can say it better with a song, appropriately called The Moment I Met You.
The funniest feeling, didn't know what to do. Seemed my heart began reeling the moment I met you. Didn't know about kissing till I got it from you. Then I found what was missing the moment I met you. I looked around to touch the ground and found in no light an angel stopped where he had dropped right out of the sky.
The sky's so high.
Every night of Thanksgiving for a feeling that you began living the moment I met you.
Didn't know about
loving you.
Didn't know what to do. The moment I met you.
and found it no lie. An angel stopped where he had dropped right out from the sky. I sing out hallelujah,
hallelujah, baby,
when I suddenly knew
I knew it was you.
I was running right to you.
Do.
I started learning.
Do.
I started loving.
Do.
I started living.
Do.
The moment I met you.
I met you.
Paul Whiteman's arrangement of The Moment I Met You, and I wonder how much of its real brilliance you could hear on your present radio. A lot has happened to radio design since you bought your last new Philco 4 years ago. Philco's research in radar has opened up scores of new engineering improvements in circuit design, power output, operating features. So many improvements that Philco engineers say the new Philcos are actually 10 years ahead of 4 years ago. I'll compare the performance of even the smaller Philco table models with much larger pre-war sets. Listen to the new brilliance of tone, the improvement in clearance, range, and quality. Yes, from the magnificent new radio phonographs custom-built by Philco to the smaller table model, these Philco radios are new all the way through. New designs, new circuits, new engineering triumphs from the Philco laboratories. See your Philco dealer now, and you'll buy a new Philco. Famous for quality the world over.
In the history of comedy, there are none funnier than two boys we honor today in Philco's Radio Hall of Fame. Top box office draw of motion pictures, stars of their own radio show for Camel cigarettes, they're as much an American institution as baseball, hot dogs, and throwing pop bottles at the umpire. Ladies and gentlemen, that whale of a comedy team, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what, Bud, today?
What?
Today I would like to tell a brand new story has never been told before in radio. It's a little story I wrote myself, and I'd like to tell it today.
Don't tell me you wrote a story.
It's a very lovely joke.
Since when
it's
are you...
clean.
Now, never mind, I didn't ask you that. You wrote a joke.
I wrote this all by myself.
Is it funny?
Very funny.
I
would
new?
Like to tell it.
Is it new?
Brand new.
No one's ever heard it?
Yeah, the only thing is, I tell a story by myself, you have nothing to say.
Well, all right, you go ahead.
And you keep your mouth shut.
As long as it's brand new.
Yes, sir.
And you know it.
That's right. Now, I will tell a story.
And it's funny.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Now, here I start. I will tell a story, and from now on, you keep your mouth shut.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it.
It's about a whale, a ship, and Jonah.
And you wrote it.
And I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's
from
funny.
Now on, keep quiet.
Then it's funny.
Yeah, but you got nothing to say.
I'm not saying
tell the whole story
anything.
By myself.
Go on, carry on.
It's about a whale, a ship, and Jonah.
Well, you told us that once.
Yes. Yeah. Now, once upon a time, there was a whale.
What kind of a whale?
This.
What kind of a whale was it?
A plain, everyday whale,
oh,
my friend.
Right.
How do I know what kind
well,
of whale?
Well, right. Let's not argue about it.
What
I
do you
mean...
think I do, hang around with whales?
No, I don't mean no harm.
What, do you think I belong to a whale gang or something?
No, look, please, now, let's get down.
I asked you to keep your mouth shut, didn't I?
All right, there's no argument.
Well, don't interrupt me.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Now, the whale was in the ocean.
What ocean?
This ocean.
But what ocean? I mean, the folks out here would like to know.
How do
where
I know
place.
What ocean? Pick out an ocean. What do I care?
That's immaterial to me.
All right, the immaterial ocean.
Oh, come on.
Now, the whale was in the immaterial ocean. He was minding his own business, but he was following a ship.
What ship?
Now, this.
What ship?
I asked you to keep quiet, didn't I?
I only asked you what ship, didn't I?
A ship that swims in the water.
Oh, you mean a swim ship?
Yeah.
I see.
Now, the whale was following a swim ship because. Who ever heard of a swim ship?
I don't know. You're telling the story. I can't.
Mr. Abbott, I asked you to keep quiet,
Mr.
didn't I?
Costello, I will.
All right, from now on, don't open your mouth.
I'm sorry.
I tell a story by myself.
All right, go ahead.
Now, the whale was following the ship because the whale was...
The whale was following the ship.
The whale was following the ship because the whale was hungry.
Yeah.
Now, Captain Jonah was the captain of the boat, and he didn't want the whale to capsize the boat.
No, certainly
because
not.
Because, after all, if the whale was going to capsize the boat,
capsize.
That's bad.
No, certainly. Naturally, that's bad. Capsize the boat.
Sure.
Because you know what capsize means.
Sure.
That's right.
Because he didn't want the whale to capsize the boat.
What does capsize mean? What does capsize mean?
It's a nice word.
I'm asking you, what does it mean?
Capsize. Well, it's,
What does it mean?
It's a big word, ain't it?
Well, what does it mean? You put it in there.
And I can take it out if I want.
All right. Now, make up your mind. You want it in or out?
It's in. Capsize
well, what
is
does
a
it
nice
mean?
Word.
What does it mean?
6 7/8, 7 1/4.
That's what I thought. Go ahead.
Captain Jonah didn't want the whale to 6 7/8 the boat.
Oh, all safely. Go ahead.
So he threw the whale over a barrel of apples.
What kind of apples?
And just as...
What's what kind of apples?
I asked you not to interrupt me, didn't I? What kind of... How do I know what kind of apples?
Well, there's all kinds of apples. There's Baldwin apples, there's frost apples, there's...
Crab apples!
Tell the people those things. Don't keep secrets away from the public.
Oh, he threw them over a barrel of crab apples. He's got me mad at you
all
now.
Right, now, take it easy. Don't get excited.
After the whale ate the crab apples, the whale was still hungry, and then Captain Jonah, he had to throw him over something else.
What did he throw him?
He threw him over a camp stool. What kind of stool?
Who said that?
In case you did. A three-legged camp stool, he threw him over.
All right, what happened? Go on with
now the whale ate the... He ate the apples and he ate the stool, and the whale was still hungry.
Yes.
Now the whale was following the boat, and Captain Jonah was getting awful mad now and nervous.
Yeah.
As I said before, he didn't want the whale to capsize the boat.
Well, couldn't the boat pick
so
up
the... So he yelled downstairs... Yeah, he yelled downstairs to the guy that was in the coal room.
Yes.
And he said, hey, Joe, throw on more coal on the fire.
I see.
And now the boat was doing 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the,
Wait a minute. Let's straighten out your story right there.
See?
Now, that's all wrong. You know, there's a nautical term for that on the waters.
Huh?
Boats don't go miles on waters, you know.
The boat was going 40 miles an hour.
No. Now, if you went up to a sailor and you ask a sailor, you say, how fast is this boat going? He wouldn't say miles to you. He'd say knots to you. There's no such a... You mean
a sailor that I never saw before?
Oh, sure,
a perfect stranger?
That's a nautical term on the water.
He would say nuts to me?
Absolutely.
I say nuts right back to him.
Well, that's the way the boat was going.
How?
Nuts.
All right, so the boat was going nuts.
All right, forget about it. Finish your story.
All I know is Captain John was on a boat, and he didn't want the whale to capsize the boat. He wanted to save his passengers.
So what did he do?
Well, after he threw him over the apples and the stool, the whale was still hungry. In other words, his appetite had not been appeased.
Oh, all right, go ahead. I won't ask you anything. Go ahead.
His appetite had not been appeased.
Yes.
Ha-ha!
All right, just think that one in.
I don't know what that is either.
All right, go ahead.
Now, Captain Jonah, the only way he could sacrifice his boat and save all the people, he had to sacrifice himself, Mr. Rabbit.
Oh, now, don't make it too sad.
Captain Jonah saw the whale coming up alongside the boat.
Yes.
He threw a beautiful jackknife dive right into the mouth of the whale.
Oh, do tell.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yes, go ahead. All right.
Now, the whale ate Captain Jonah. He ate the apples and he ate the stool.
Hey.
And then the whale swam away.
Wait a minute, Lou.
3 years later.
Wait a minute, Lou.
They caught that very same whale down here in the bay.
All right, listen.
And they cut him open.
Just a minute, Lou.
And what do you think they found?
I want to ask you one more question.
Now, he says something, and then I tell you the funny answer.
Wait a minute, just a minute before you tell us.
Wait a minute. Don't laugh now.
Wait a minute, Lou, let me ask you something.
Wait till he gets through, then I tell you.
Wait a minute, don't get excited.
Lou, lady.
You're not coming out here this afternoon in front of this intelligent audience on such a marvelous program and try to get away with that old wheeze, that old pun, that old story about the time they caught the whale and they cut him open, and there they found Jonah seated on that stool selling those apples three for a nickel, are you? That's not the story that you wrote yourself, the story that you create. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry I interrupted, friends. He told us it was a brand new story and no one had ever heard it. I'm sorry. It couldn't be that because every little schoolboy knows that joke. That's one of the oldest jokes in the world. Now, wait a minute, friends. Please, give the boy a chance. Give the boy a chance, and he'll tell us the big wheeze at the finish here that he's telling us about. But I thought it was a build-up to that story. Go ahead, Lou. Tell the folks what they found when they cut the whale open. Well, don't stand there. Don't stand there like that. What are you looking at me like that for? You know the answer, don't you? Huh? Don't you feel good? You don't. Can you talk? Well, say something. Go ahead. Tell the folks what they found when they cut the whale open.
You told them.
Was that the answer? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Told my joke.
You
took the very joke out of my mouth.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Trying to get away with an old wheeze like that. But I feel sorry for you, Lou. But I'll tell you what I'll do.
I never interrupt you when you tell jokes.
I'll tell you what I'll do. All right, I'll tell you a little joke. It's a fast one. All right?
Go ahead. That'll make... got plenty of time.
All right. All right, now, you only got 1 minute to tell us it.
Go ahead.
All right, now, here. Say you're 40 years old and you're in love with a little girl, say 10 years old.
This one's going to be a...
Now, wait a minute. You're 40.
Now I'm going around with a 10-year-old girl.
Now, wait a minute.
You got a good idea where I'm going to wind up.
Now, look.
You're 40, she's 10, you're four times as old as that girl. You couldn't marry her, could you?
Not unless I come from the mountains.
Now, all right, never mind the mountains. You're 40, she's 10, you're four times as old as that girl, so you wait 5 years. Now the little girl is 15, you're 45, you're only three times as old as that little girl. So you wait 15 years more. Now the little girl is 30, you're 60, you're only twice as old as that little girl.
She's catching up.
Yes. Now, here's the question. How long do you have to wait before you and the little girl are the same age? Come on. Quick.
I mean, that whole thing is ridiculous.
Come on, give it
I mean, if I keep waiting for that girl, she'll pass me out.
What are you talking about?
I mean, she'll wind up older than I am.
I don't know what you're saying.
Then she'll have to wait for me.
Why should she wait for you?
I was nice enough to wait for her.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, if I'm willing to marry the girl, I'll marry her.
You know the girl?
No.
Why should you marry a girl you don't even know?
Why do you get me all mixed up?
All right, then.
Look, I'll marry the girl if I have to wait 100 years old.
Is that?
Her and I are each 100 years old.
That would be fine. You're 100 years old, she's 70. You're both old, tired people with white hair on your head.
Listen, Abbott, the white hair won't make any difference.
Won't make any difference?
No, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean that the fire isn't burning in the fireplace.
That's all. That's
boys, you're forever tops with me, just as this tune is forever tops in the musical memory books.
Is just as bright now as it was then.
Oh, don't tell me you remember the original version.
Are you kidding? I sang the original version with your band.
Now, wait a minute, Costello. You never told me you sang.
You never told me you snore.
Now, look, what'll that get us?
Twin beds.
Now, look, I still want to know about you singing with the Whiteman band. What did they call you then?
Paul Whiteman at half mast. Look, remember the time Whiteman played the Army in Paterson, New Jersey?
Vaguely.
How do you like that? I suppose you don't remember the little guy who went up and asked Paul if he could sing Some Sunny Day?
Oh, I don't remember, Lou. Refresh me.
Okay, you asked for it. I'll sing Some Sunny Day, just the way I sang it for you then.
No. Before you sing, tell me, how did you do?
How did I do? Yeah. I had the audience right in the palm of my hand.
Gives you an idea of how many stayed to hear you.
All right, wise guy. Hey, Paul, move over and give me a downbeat. And the first four rows had better move back. Because when I sing, you need umbrellas. Some sunny day, with a smile on my face, and I go back to that place. A far away, a far away, a far away, a far away. I back to that shack in that red-headed hen. As you say, have you been? And then you go, some sunny day, I love you, yes I will. I am lost.
lost, and I'm lost on Sunny Day. Sunny Day. Hey, hey.
Well, I'm glad that's out.
Paul, I've listened to Glenn Riggs saying that Philco had been the leader in radio for 15 years. Now, that's a long time to stay on top, right?
Well, I'll show you how long. I'll date it for you musically. Do you remember when this tune was a brand new hit?
When the organ played at twilight, say, Paul, that does take you back.
Yeah, the Philco radios you heard that tune over in 1930 were musical instruments of quality. It was quality that made Philco tops in radio then and kept them tops since. And you'll find it same as ever in those new Philcos we're telling the people about today.
And they're new all the way through. From the magnificent custom-built radio phonographs down to the smallest table models, Philco gives you new designs, new circuits, new engineering triumphs from the Philco laboratories. Ask your Philco dealer about Philco's new patented dynamic reproducer, the revolutionary advanced FM, the automatic record player that obsoletes all manual phonographs, and scores of other great radio developments from Philco, the leader. You'll hear the difference when you listen to a new Philco bringing you...
Costello, Costello, what's with this? Hey, Martha, when you address a lady, you should have charm. You should have dignity. Where's your dignity?
I don't know. I had it when I came in.
Now, look. Looks like you don't understand. There's a certain way to greet a girl.
I know. I read Emily Puller.
You mean Emily Post.
When I read her, she was still knocking around.
Did you call me, you fat, cute little man?
Oh, this kid wants a pound of butter. And who doesn't?
Martha, you'll have to excuse Lou. What he means to say is that you're his favorite singer.
Yeah, I love the way you sing those beautiful ballads. My mother loves the way you sing, too. You see, she loves kids. She'd have given anything if I was one.
That's right, Martha. As Lou told Paul, he wanted to be a singer. Why, just the other night, he sang on the sidewalk in front of Cyril's.
How come he didn't sing in Cyril?
That's where I started.
Well, Paul, for my favorite funny men, my favorite tune... We'll be together again. Parting is not goodbye.
times when I know you'll be lonesome. Times when I know you'll be sad. Don't let temptation surround you. Don't let the blues make you bad. Someday, someway, we both have a lifetime before us. For parting is not goodbye.
Paul, who's on deck for next week?
Yes, Paul. Who are you rolling the red carpet out for?
Well, next week, the Radio Hall of Fame is swinging wide the portals to admit some of the most unusual, some of the funniest...
The phone's ringing.
Well, answer it. Are you nailed to the floor?
Okay.
Go ahead. Hello, Whiteman.
No, this is Lou Costello.
Must have the wrong program. Cheap phones.
You got the right program. Paul is busy.
This is Professor Colonna. Tell Whiteman I'm coming over next week with the mob.
The mob? Ooh, murder! Whiteman's in for trouble. Who's coming?
He can't hear me, can he?
No, he's busy talking to Bud. Go ahead. Who's coming?
We got Bert. How do you do, Gordon, the mad Russian?
Yeah.
That super-duper salesman, Eddie, tell you what I'm going to do, Mara.
Yeah.
And mail the carrot-eating Bugs Bunny blank, and he's bringing the Burns and Allen's mailman and Judy Canova's Pedro.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Charlie Cantor. I mean, Clifton Finnegan, the metal giant. You got all that?
Yeah. And what are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do about it? He's new around here, isn't he?
Hey, Paul, did you hear who's coming over next week?
Yeah, the top comics from the top radio shows. The guys behind the guys who get the laughs. I wonder what they want.
You'll find out.
Well, anyway, it will be as much fun as it was this week. And our thanks to Bud Abbott and Lou Costello for being with us at the Earl Carroll Theater restaurant this afternoon. Your antics have made many lives happier on the stage, screen, and radio. And many more lives will be made happier through your many contributions to charity. Yesterday, as an example, it was my privilege to attend the groundbreaking ceremonies for the Lou Costello Jr. Foundation these two gentlemen are building in Los Angeles for underprivileged children. Good luck to you both, and God bless you. The honor was ours, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, in honoring you in Philco's Radio Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Paul.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't miss Philco's other program, The Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil, Monday through Friday, over most of these same stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.